Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Andy Lopez, the invisible gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/don't panic. It's organic. That's Don't Panic. It's Organic every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/don't panic. It's organic. BBSRadio.com, home of Don't Panic, It's Organic, with Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener.
Hello, everybody. This is, who is this? I knew who I was this morning. Jose. Oh, I am Luis. No, that's not it. That's not it, Luis. Francisco. No. Wait a minute. Let's see. I know. Wait a second. Let's do this. Okay, hang on a second. I'll figure it out.
Beep.
Oh, here we go.
BBSRadio.com, home of Don't Panic, It's Organic,
Yeah.
with Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener.
I got it. I got it. I'm Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. Oh, it's so hard to remember, on these different bodies and Earth and planets. It's like ridiculous. Anyway, how's everybody doing? I'm hoping everything's working out for you. I'm managing to stay afloat. I'm not going to bore you with my continuing dental issues. I've been having dental work, and I've lost like 30 pounds because you can't chew, right? You have on a liquid diet, and I guess somehow when you're on a liquid diet, you lose weight because you don't really gain weight if you're on a liquid diet. And I'm only partially through because pretty soon they have to. Like I said, I'm not going to bore you with my dental stuff. It's just that it kind of spaces you out. And if you can't eat well, then you can't really exercise well, let alone work well, because I drive a truck. It's a pickup, but it's still pretty heavy. And just losing a little bit of weight makes it so that I don't have the muscles to turn and lift things up and do stuff as I used to, So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic, your host, Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. I'm here every Saturday afternoon just for you. I'm not really doing this for me. I've been doing this since, well, let's see. I started in 19, let's see, when was it? It was in the late. It was early 80s when I started doing, I think, well, way before that, maybe. Maybe like 79, 80, right? That's early 80s. I ran a bulletin board system as BBS. I wonder if they're still doing BBS systems. Whereas in those days, you didn't have an internet, but people can call in. So it was a computer. Yeah, so it was not that early, rather. Because you have to have a computer. So it must have been in mid-80s, 84, a little bit before 84, I think it was, maybe 81, 82. And so a computer where you would have a card. It was during the Amiga days. I had Amiga too. It was a multitasking computer. I love it. I still do. I named my PC Amiga after it. And they still have it in Europe. That's just, you can't run anything on it. I guess you could. I was thinking of buying one just for fun, just programming it. But it's a bulletin board system where people would dial into the computer. You basically have different phone lines. So I had 10 phone lines that people would dial in. And what it does is it allows them to interact with each other. So like a miniature internet. You can see, I can see who's on, what they're doing. There could be rooms where they can see and talk to each other. I set up a really cool game. Which I probably may think about, I should have continued it, but it's a working on a game is a lot of work. Trust me, I've done it on and off on these a bunch of other games, and it's a game basically where you materialize inside a cloud, and somebody else is inside there with you, a bunch of other people, whoever, depending upon who's playing, right? And the basic idea was eventually you figured out that you can teleport yourself out of that cloud into other places. So that was part of the game. You can go from one place to another place, and we had different rooms. We had places people can go to on planets and stuff like that. I even remember the name of the board. It's called Galacticum. Anyway, so I started my club then, because that's why people would log in and they would ask me questions. At that time, I don't think I was doing – well, I was doing a radio show. I've been doing them since the early 70s. And so that was one way that I would get people, you know, to help people, because a lot of people didn't want to, for some reason, talk to me on the air, which, by the way, this is what – since this is what it's all about, I should – I give you the phone numbers to call, but you really should know these phone numbers by now. I guess I had the same problem when I was doing the shows on the air, and, you know, I'd drive to a studio and say, these are the phone numbers to call. And I was thinking to myself, well, wait a minute, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you must have that phone number written down right there on the refrigerator or wherever to call, unless you never, ever call. So, and even then I was saying, I'm not going to give it to you unless you already know it, but I'll give it to you. Okay, so it's 888-627-6008. That's the 800 number you can call at. Excuse me. And then there's a direct line, which I guess it means if you're closer, right? It's 323-944-4831. And then because we use Skype here, it's the call name to use to get a hold, to call to be on the show. It's BBS Radio PR. Right, all lowercase, BBS Radio PR. If you have a question, you can. There are several ways that I can help you. The ideal way for me, there's not ideal, but it's one of the best ways for you just to call and talk to me. Now, ideally, if I'm talking about ideally, I would love you to email me first and say, Andy, I have this problem. Can we talk? And I would say, sure. Can you come on the show next week? And give me a number, and the engineer will call you, and you can talk to me. Or you can say, yes, I'll call you, and you can call there and tell the engineer, Andy's expecting my call, and bam, you're on the air. Wham, bam, thank you, man, right? So that's one way. That's the ideal way for me. There's a problem with that in the sense that, I won't have your email to be able to correspond with you. I won't have an email to send you anything, because I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to give anybody who contacts me, whether email or on the phone or whether a free copy of my book, but it'll be an ebook version. That way I can just mail it right back to you. As a matter of fact, what I'm really doing is I'm giving you a lifetime. Everybody's going to get a lifetime membership of the club. So if you email me and then I email you back, hey, you won the, you know, basically everybody wins. Here's your lifetime membership, and here's a copy of my Don't Panic, It's Organic book, the e-version of it. I have 21 books. You're going to get 21 other books. They're not going to get emailed to you. They're in a page. See, when you sign up, when I give you a link, you click on it, it will say enter your user ID and password, and so forth to use the link. This is a password to get in, get your information in. So once you have signed up and registered and made it through the registration process, and if you don't make it through the registration process, a problem, you have my number. You can call me. You can talk to me. You can get a hold of me right through invisiblegardener.com. Okay? But once you sign in, you have a members page. And on the members page, one of the things that shows you is that this is where you can get all the free ebooks at. This is, this is how you get the members podcast, right? There are certain things that are for members only. And so when you log in, you have access to different parts of the website. They're for members only. One of the areas that I'm working on is not totally developed yet. I'm asking my tech guys to work on it. Is the forum. It's the Ask Andy forum. So if you have a question about the radio show, ideally I would like you to go there, right, and post it up there, because then we could talk about it and other members can talk about it too. But, you know, ideally it doesn't always work that way, right? So I'm trying to make it simple for people, because people don't really like going up to the forum, leaving a question, and then waiting for me to answer it. They like it if they just email me and I email them back. The only problem with that is I just can only email so much. After a while, I won't be emailing people back. I just can't. answers from many people, right? So, but the way I've learned, I've been doing this for a long time, the way I learned to answer people, and I can help a lot of people at the same time, is if you go through the website and use the Ask Andy forum, leave your question up there. Other people can read it too and get the answer and help too. And that way also too, I can, answer the question and you can go read it. I would do is you get a notification so that when the email gets answered, it'll tell you Andy has answered your question. And also you can put a picture up there. I'm working on it. I've been told that I am live. That's all I really wanted to know. It's just, am I alive? Am I dead? Am I alive? What's happening? Anyway, we had little issues at the studio. I've been told that I'm back again, I think. I really don't know. I am assuming everything's fine. All the buttons going up. The problem is you can't really tell what happens at the other end. It's always that way. That's the way it is real life. So anyway, I'm totally spaced out now. I have no idea. So as I was saying before, talking about the ways you can get a hold of me. So I'll say it again for you guys. You can call me at the 800 number, 888-627-6008. You can always call the direct line, which is 323-944-4831. And since we use Skype, it's BBS Radio PR. You can email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Just spell it right. In the subject, you write radio show question or member question if you remember. You can ideally should use the website and using the inquiry form. A simple reason is that it goes into a separate box that when the email comes, I can read it a lot better than going through emails. Thousands of emails. That's the only problem if you email me directly. So if you go to the website, you do the inquiry button, you type, I have a question for the radio show. If you're a member, you can just say, just click on the member button in the inquiry. I think I should do hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Andy. I'm sorry, yeah,
lady,
I apologize for emailing.
Lady from Florida?
Yes, that's me.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
What's up?
I emailed about the aphid, and you said it wasn't an aphid. You said it was actually probably a beetle. And then you said that I need to make the plants happy. So I have a two-part question.
Okay.
The first
three
part
parts?
Is
wow.
Two. if there's only one, that's fine. But,
okay.
My question is, with this beetle, it's probably something that I brought home. I came home with that, probably.
Because
I put the good soil, I did, what the things that you had mentioned in your book, like what to do to put in the soil. Uh-huh. And it's still got this beetle. So in order to make it happy, it has good soil and everything. I don't want to, I have killed plants in the past by overdoing it. So I wonder, if you had a beetle like that, what you would do, the coffee? You said use coffee or the...
There's lots of things about that I don't understand in terms of, because there's a lot more detail. But basically, you have to understand that it's important where you get the... Did you buy seeds or plants?
I bought plants.
Right, you bought them in a nursery, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... You know where I'm going to, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, whenever you buy stuff in a, commercial place, unless they say did they say it was organic heirloom plants?
No, not at all.
No, right. Right. So you got them weak already to begin with, and like you said, you're right that the plants already have these bugs already. They're probably spraying the heck out of them to keep them getting at the bug. Hurry up, get this plant, take it home, quick, right? So you probably brought it home with you, see, and the plants were already weak. There was food already for it. So that's, and so it's a difficult thing to say, okay, because that wouldn't happen to me. See, I would not be going to the store and buying this junk stuff, basically, because they're on junk food, and then you bring them home, you try to give them the good stuff, they ain't going to happen either. And so it's a hard one to control, because you know you have to do something to the bugs, but the bugs are going but the plants are for us to eat, right? You know,
yeah.
And so a lot of times so when I go to the store. If I buy plants for my customers, anything like that, I go to a certain nursery, which I know that once a week they bring plants, and then they have a section of organic heirloom plants. And even then I contacted the company. I said, what do you mean by organic heirloom? Because they all have their own ideas of what organic heirloom is, see? And if they are grown organically, then the plants are a lot stronger. That means that people are giving them the minerals and all that stuff, and they're doing really well. And they're more likely won't have any bugs when they to bring it home with, see, right?
Right, right.
Right. So as part of it is you have to understand when you go out buy stuff, you just can't trust anybody for getting decent plants and then bring them home and try to make them normal because they're not. And so that's a big problem there. You can't, that's why I would tell you that. I would say, okay, you know, you understand that because no matter what you do, these bugs will keep wanting to go back. It'll attract other bugs from, you have them outside, right?
Yeah.
So other bugs will be sitting around going, ooh, look at that one. Let's go over to that plant. Because they do get it. It's like a beacon of light that they follow. Oh, look at that. Ready to eat. My food, favorite food source, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to control the bugs, that's why I said the coffee is really good. Cold brewed coffee is excellent to use. It won't hurt the plant. Best time is to go at night. And there are other kinds of traps you can use. Like the coffee by itself, for example, coffee grinds.
Mm-hmm. Coffee grinds, just put it in the soil.
Yeah, right. You should sprinkle a little bit of coffee grinds on around the base of the plant so that the bug will have to crawl over it on the soil to get up the tree. There are other things you can do with the coffee yourself, but that's why you can spray the plant at night so that you can get the bug with it, because the caffeine is really bad for it, won't hurt the plants. That's why I also mentioned garlic, because garlic will kill the beetle. But you got to understand, you can keep doing all that stuff. It doesn't make the plant any healthier, does it?
No.
And you fed it. Did you buy organic stuff? Is that what you did?
Oh, yeah. I bought the organic soil.
Did you expect that plant to go, oh, yummy organic stuff? It's looking at you going, where's my Miracle-Gro? Right?
What's this crap? They probably said, yeah.
Exactly. And it can't eat it. It can't eat it any more than a vegetarian. You give him a steak, he'll go, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The plants, they can't eat it. The only way they can eat stuff is if it's a chemical. That way it gets absorbed into their system. You see what I mean? When you use a chemical fertilizer, whether you put it in the ground or whether you spray it, it just goes right into the system. Right?
What about rock dust? What about the rock dust? Milk. Okay. Can I give it rock dust milk?
So the rock dust, no. If I were to buy, and a lot of times when I go to a customer's place, they have the same problem. The gardener's growing and stuff, all this problem is going on. And I would say, well, you know, I've learned from experience because when I was young, I said, okay, let me see what happens if I was to feed the plants, right? Because maybe if I fed them and played music to them and did everything, maybe they'll feel better, right? They'll recover, right?
Right.
And so the thing is that, see, what these people, I'll call them people, little plants do not have their systems working. In other words, their root systems are not really working, functioning entirely the way they're supposed to. So, yeah, they're in the ground, they get water, but the way they were grown, and probably genetics, probably their mother and daddy plants were grown that way, right?
Same way, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have, and then the babies are the seeds, and then what you grow are identical to your plants, the mother, in a lot of ways, especially in the way the roots work. And the roots and the parents have been taught, you don't have to do anything. Just sit there and we'll give you all the stuff you need to eat. Whoosh, right into your system, right? So they don't develop the root systems and the hairs and all that stuff that's under there. It's supposed to convert things. On top of that, the soil itself is so the two have to be working together. But if you add organic fertilizer to a dead soil, it won't work because the organic fertilizer depends upon the living soil to break it down to work, whereas a chemical fertilizer does not. See? Right.
So
right.
is this a lost cause, or can I feed it through the leaves? Maybe the leaves is easier to get.
Right. 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 So you have to slowly but surely get it together in the sense, well, I need to get better. You know, better foundation. That means I need to work on my soil, and I need to find a good source of organic seeds and organic plants, because eventually I'll get the two together. You're starting on this process, you know, he says, well, it's going to take a while to get the soil together, right? So in the interim, whenever I want to plant something that's healthy as possible, and then I can learn how to do that. Yeah, and one of the ways is to spray, because I started in the sixth grade. That's the first thing I was doing. I was spraying plants coffee, cream, and sugar, you know, to start with. When I was a kid, I didn't have organic coffee. I got the coffee from my parents, and I'm pretty sure
regular
it was
coffee.
Yeah,
regular,
but the
cafe, regular,
but
yeah.
Coffee usually will have, you know, minerals and stuff like that, iron and stuff. I learned that tea, for example, tea has iron in it. Tea has other things in it, minerals in it as well. And that's one reason why I learned to make a tea, because you basically are figuring out a way to get the minerals and stuff into a liquid form and then spray it on the plants.
So See? Should I use, you know, but remember you told me about taking the fertilizer and making a tea overnight with it? Is that something I could do to that?
Did you, wait a minute, are you the lady that got the super seaweed in the rock dust?
Yep.
So let me get this straight. You have the super seaweed and you're using it?
No. I'm afraid to overdo it because I don't know how.
Wait a minute. You have super seaweed and you're not using it.
Yes, I do, and I apologize.
I'm going to have to turn you into the organic department, and they're going to come and arrest you. You're not supposed to. You don't understand that super seaweed is invented by me. I invented that.
I know. That's
stuff
what
is,
I was.
That
I
stuff
was,
is exactly what your little
you.
Plants need.
Okay, well, I was getting you should be telling me because I asked you, can I use a rock dust?
Right. So what all you need is a tablespoon per gallon.
A tablespoon per gallon. Wow, how long does it last? Tablespoon per gallon, and how much can I use to feed it? Can I just feed it for the rest of the time with that?
Seaweed is not a fertilizer. Okay, super seaweed has the trace minerals and has a food for the bacteria and has microbes in it, right? So you spray it on, it's like having a vitamin pill, okay? So you still got to eat dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So the vitamin pill is supposed to give you the vitamins and minerals, but it has to go in your stomach and you still got to eat dinner, whatever it is you eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the super seaweed will definitely go a long way to helping these plants, because their problem is, since the system is not working, the roots is not, they're not getting the food they need into their system. That's why you foliar spray them, right? You want to foliar spray something that they can absorb, that's rich in all the different trace minerals. That's why I started doing that, because when I went to this one place and I said, all my plants are dying, what should I do? No matter what I put on the ground, it's not going to work. Well, there's, you know, for example, if you take a good organic fertilizer, put it in the ground, and you keep doing that, it depends on the organic fertilizer, how good it is, and whether or not it eventually starts to make the soil working. There's a product called Dr. Earth. Have you ever heard of it?
I bought it on your recommendation. Mm-hmm.
Did you buy the Dr. Earth fertilizer? You did?
Yeah, that's what I use in the plant as well, yeah.
All right, excellent. So then, that fertilizer, if you look at the package, it has mycorrhizae in it. It has microbes in it that you want to put in the soil. Now, here's the thing, is that when did you start doing this? When did you just put it in? What was why do I get the feeling you're a first-time gardener?
I told you, I'm trying. I had a really good light-blooming jasmine, and basically I just watered it, and it did its own thing, and it was wonderful. But that was years ago. And then when I try to move it, it died. So then...
So the whole thing is that, remember, I talk about long-term and short-term solutions. So the long-term is you got to start paying attention to the soil. You just can't say, well, I'm just going to grow something in there and it'll come to me. So if the soil is doing really well, everything else will do really well. And if it isn't, well, no matter what you do to it, you're fighting against it, because it has to grow in something really, this live soil. But in the interim, the super seaweed is one of the things you spray the leaves of the plant with, right? Okay. You spray, and I would do that every time you water. So you make a batch of water with a drop, with a tablespoon per, a tablespoon per gallon. It's on this very, it's on the light side. You can't burn with that. But the idea, I tell people, look, if you have an emergency, right, your plant is sick and you can see that it's suffering, then you can give it a tablespoon per quart, really, you know, tablespoon per quart.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
then, you know, you give it to it. That's like a little bit stronger mixture, but it isn't going to hurt it. Tablespoon per gallon, if you foliar sprayed and poured it around, you do that on a regular basis, it's going to eventually start to work on the plant, because the plant absorbs it right away, and then it goes into the soil. The soil slowly starts to bring the soil back to life. Combine that with the organic fertilizer that you have, and then that should help the soil and the plants. That's a good thing. So you're doing the right thing, better than most people are doing. So all you have to do is make sure that you give the plant the spray. You should do that a couple of times a day. Wouldn't hurt if you're there. You know, if you're there,
yeah.
You know how you have spray. We have a little sprayer. You missed it, and you don't do it in the middle of the day when it's like 100 degrees.
Right. Do it in the morning and in the evening. Right.
Right. So first thing in the morning, you run out there, and then in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, I got my name Invisible Gardener because I would go out at night under the light of full moon and do stuff. It's really nice. The bugs are out there. You can see what's going on. Hey man, what's going on? You know, and they do really well. So if you spray that, and then what I would do too is you have the rock dust. So here's a couple of things you could do. Now the rock dust is a blend of things. So the rock dust, you want to sprinkle it around the plant, but that's going to take a long time. When you sprinkle it and you turn it over, it may not even be available for months and months and months until it breaks down and slowly, right? That's why I add microbes to it, and it should help. But it's going to be a while. I tell people a whole year. When you start a year, give it a year for everything to start mellowing down, whether you do raised beds or whatever. And every year it gets better and better. So one of the things you do with the rock dust, besides putting it down, is you take a little bit of that, and you make a tea out of it. So either you get a pantyhose or an old sock, and you take about, you don't even need a cup. It's like, you know, in a gallon of water, you should get maybe like a little tiny, like, you know what a tea bag is, right? A tiny tea bag, that's a small amount.
So okay.
If you can make a small amount of that, get tied into a little ball, and then let it sit in the water, and stir it up. You see how it'll get white and milky and everything. And then let it settle and pour that into your spray. Spray that. Because that's a minerals that dissolved in the water. See? Right?
How often, Andy, can I spray the rock milk?
Well, too much of a good thing is bad. I'm glad you're asking, because it's supposed to be trace minerals. Right?
Okay.
So you definitely want to do it once a month. In a normal plant, I would do it once a week for a while, you know, and then see what it's like. You have to go different plants are different, tomatoes and vegetables and whatever else you're growing. They're all different plants, roses. So you have to, I would spray everybody once a week with it, see what's going on, you know, take a look and see. Remember, it's not a fertilizer. So here you have the minerals, right? And so that Dr. Earth fertilizer that you got there, right? Here's what I would do with it. So it also goes into the ground, but you could also make a tea out of it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like you did the rock dust. So what I would do is
overnight.
Overnight. It depends. See, here's a couple of things. This is what I do. This is what I've been doing for years. After doing it a while, I kind of develop a way of doing things. I do it as a service. I go out and make stuff for people, you know, and then I spray it, right? Mm-hmm. I make it in my garage and then I spray it, right? That's very clever of me, right? So what I would do is I would take the rock dust and the Dr. Earth. You don't need equal amounts. You need about, you know, maybe a handful of Dr. Earth and a pinch of the rock dust, maybe a couple of tablespoons. Mix the two together, turn it, and make that a little ball. Tie it up into a little ball, and that's your mixture that you would sit in this nice. You can even, you know how they have these 5-gallon pail buckets? The buckets, right?
They're
That's what I would do. I would, and the water, here's the trick with the water, because city water is not really that good. So what you do is a couple of days before you're going to use it, you fill your bucket up with water, and you let it sit out there in the back in the sun, and you stir it up every once in a while. The sun will get rid of all the chlorine and stuff like that in the water, right? Okay? And then you could let your little ball of this mixture sit in there. And that thing, if you leave it overnight, you can do it again over and over and over and over again, because you don't throw that little ball away. It'll last you for quite a – you'll be like 87. You know, this little ball I made, I've been doing it for 80 years. It's just add it to water. It just keeps making more stuff. You know, it's – wow. But that's what I would – you know, because and it would last you a while. It could last you easily four times, because it doesn't auto-dissolve. It doesn't auto-dissolve. It's there, and it just falls apart slowly. And you'll see it. It gets dissolved in the water, and you have to – let the water sit, because if you're using it in a sprayer, it may clog up your sprayer if you have too much pieces go through there. Right. That's how I learned to make a tea bag out of things, because it doesn't. Because I used to use alfalfa meal, make a tea bag out of that. You can make a tea bag out of compost, make compost tea. Do you get compost? Do you make it or what?
No.
Okay. Well, Dr. Urs also sells compost.
Right. I can make that a tea.
Right, so then you make a tea out of it, and what I do is I used to just make compost tea, and then what I do is I take, well, because I think a lot, so I say, okay, well, maybe I should get the compost and add the rock dust to the compost and make a compost / tea out of it, right? And that's perfect. You just have to only need a small amount of the rock dust to go with the compost, make a tea out of it. And here's the thing about overnight. Okay, so when I used to let it sit overnight. And then I got an aerator. You know what that is? A little thing that bubbles water through it?
Yeah, for the fish tanks and stuff,
Yeah, for a fish tank, exactly right. So I have this 5-gallon little bucket, and I have this little aerator, a little pump. So I set the pump in the bottom of the bucket, and I plug it in, and it bubbles water through, right? Aerates it. And you can let that sit overnight, and you'll find that it's even more effective. Because the bubbles activate the microbes, and the microbes are happy, happy oxygen, boo, boo, boo. And if you leave it like for too long, too many days, it stinks, because the microbes is more and more active. And it's a big, giant thing. You're going to be fighting with it. And the cup says, all right, lady, let go. Microbe, let go of the lady. You know, it's right? So, you can let it bubble overnight. For most cases, you know, if you have diseases on your roses and stuff like that, you can let it go a little longer, because the length of time determines the microbes, and the microbes is what you're fighting diseases. But normally, like for those bugs, see the bugs, what you're doing is you want to tell the bugs, leave my plants alone, even though the plants have a right to go after the bugs have a right to go after the plants, because the plants are not entirely healthy, okay? Right.
They're doing their job, basically. Yeah,
they're doing their job. It's not their fault, and you can may kill them, then turn around. There's more. You go, wait a minute. Why are you keep going after these plants?
Yeah,
right. So in the long run, you'd be better off to say, okay, I'm just going to get the good plants in the beginning, and
from now on, I'm not going to buy them from. I'm not even going to mention the name.
You can either order the seeds. Or, you know, go to a nursery and say, do you have any organic plants? And they either, see what happened, you know, this one place I go to, I used to go there, I still go there. I started there in 84, I showed up, and they had a nice nursery, where are your organic plants at? Oh, we don't carry organic plants. I said, okay, bye. So then the second time I came around, hi, nice nursery, where are your organic plants? We don't carry. So he did that about 10 times. To finally said, wait a minute, why do you keep coming back here, but I don't carry organic plants? One of these days, you're going to be carrying organic plants.
Exactly.
And guess what? Every Wednesday, a truck shows up full of organic heirloom plants. And you know what? There's a whole line of people waiting that doesn't even get off the truck. Right?
Wow.
Right? And so that's what you have to do. You go to the nursery, says, do you have any organic heirloom plants, vegetable plants? I mean, roses? No, vegetable plants. Eventually, they'll say, well, this lady wants to buy it. Maybe we should get it for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do it, you may want to do that as a business. Hey, I'll sell your organic heirloom plants. But that's what you have to do. What I do is I order from seeds. See, I have my own seed bank, because for years I've been ordering from seeds, and I save seeds and I use them. And then when I grow them, I also save the seeds. But there are lots of really, really good organic seed companies out there. You can buy seeds and then grow plant them yourself. Now, growing from seeds is a little bit harder than growing the plants, right?
Yeah.
Talk about getting eaten up. Exactly right. The little bugs, the little plants are totally helpless for anything, so you have to learn how to protect them. But the easiest thing to do is just talk to nurseries and say, well, so in Florida, where in Florida do you live?
In Port St. Lucie.
Ah, yes, Port St. Lucie. Yeah. I missed the seashells.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know that I should get those because I know you could put them in the soil as well, right?
Well, no, they'll just take a lifetime to break up. You know, the easiest way is to use the rock. Well, yeah, I used to, you know, I'm a Florida boy myself. I used to live down the Keys. Yeah. I used to stop by and pick up everything, you know, from seaweed, whatever else, fishtails, whatever. But you have to kind of grind them up and speed up the process because otherwise they'll sit there. What I did was I got a barrel. I got a big barrel. I put a rolling rock in it, and I would get seashells, whatever, throw them in there, and then I had a bicycle where you sit on your bicycle and turn the drum and try to crush it down, because otherwise it'll sit in the compost bin for like 50 years, and you won't get anywhere. Yeah. Seashells won't do anything.
Got it.
But you have the basics. You have the super series. You want to use that every time you water, right? Every time you water, You ideally you should foliar spray on a regular basis, but also pour water around the base of the plant. If they're outside, you know, you can always get it's a little device you hook up to your hose, right? And you can squirt it and open it up and it sprays through, right? It siphons it out to the unit in the through the water, right?
Yeah.
It's like a Miracle Grow unit. You'd see the guy in the commercial spraying, right? I used to buy the Miracle Grow unit, and I would right there in the nursery. I would take out the thing, give him the Miracle Grow. I said, "I only want your Miracle Grow no clog sprayer." I said, "I didn't want the Miracle Grow because they have a no clog sprayer. It's ideal."
I don't know how to put how much to put in there.
Have a measuring thing on top that tells you how much stuff.
Okay, so the same amount, same amount I would put. Okay.
No. So what I would do is. They have different settings, and instead of pouring the super seaweed straight in there because you're going to be overusing it, you don't need to use that much, I would make a mixture of it. I would probably put like maybe it depends on your unit because you don't really have a lot in those little spray units, right? So if you did like 1 ounce of super seaweed, you can do like 4 ounces of water, mix it up, and that should give you 5 ounces, which that then you have a unit on top. You say, "Well, how much do I dilute it?" Right. So you don't want to dilute it so weak that it's just still water, but you don't want it to go out too fast. So just pick the middle one, and spray your plants with that.
Okay.
But the ideal way to make sure you get the right amount is to get a sprayer. You know, the kind you pump up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have one of those.
Right. A 1 gallon sprayer is easy to use. A 1 gallon is real easy to do. See, so in a gallon you put a tablespoon of super seaweed, you know, or maybe 2 tablespoons. It depends. Like if you have hibiscus, you can spray your lawns. I do a business and I spray the property. I spray the trees. I spray the lawns. I also do a car wash on the side, do the windows. You know, I spray everything.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
In 100 gallons of water, I use a quart of super seaweed. Okay.
Wow.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Now I was going to say, in that quart, we'll go even further. If I was to mix it the day before, like the night before, fill up my tank with 100 gallons, put the quart in, and then run a bubbler through it, right? The aerator through it.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I spray the trees and the roses and the lawns. You spray everything with it, especially the soil, and you do it. I got the name Invisible Gardener because I would go at night and spray these things. See?
You know what? Right? You should do? You should have a course that you give certain times a year. Make people pay a bunch, like $100 for each.
I have an online class right now. It's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. Right. And basically you're on it right now. And I don't charge for my I don't charge for my classes. My classes are free.
Oh,
see, this
wow.
is a free class. This is a class. And
pretty
soon I'm going to be doing videos. Pretty soon I'm going to be doing videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we do Skype, you know we could be seeing each other and talking to each other, right?
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, yeah.
And that's like a class.
I'm kind
and I think
of,
eventually...
I'm kind of shy about that. Like, I'd rather do the phone.
What?
Yeah, but I'd rather do the phone because I'm shy about that. But anyway, maybe sometime. But I
understand. People are shy. You know, everybody's shy. But eventually, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be, since we have Skype,
that's
might
good.
As well let the people, we see each other. That way you can show me your plants. You can show,
yeah,
you know, you
that's
can
true.
Do a video, show me a picture of the plants. And I could, what I'm going to do is that there's different other ways to do it. Zoom is another one. It allows you to do whatever you see. But
right,
I think
right.
I can show you whatever's on my screen. So that's what I'm going to do. And I this whole thing is basically a class. That's why it's called Don't Panic, It's Organic. That's an online class. I started doing that. See, I started a school in 1970. And I figured the only way to give it away, I want to give it away, the knowledge. And that's a class. And this is what, my radio shows. My radio shows are classes. That's all it is. It's nothing to do about advertising, nothing to do with making money. It has to do with, hey, this is what I know. And this is how I can teach you. And what happens, people like you find me, you see, because I ain't going to come to you and say, hey, you got to switch. No, you have to say, I can't do it this way. This is, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, because... like, I still have questions about everything. Like, my mind is racing because I have to listen to this again because,
Yeah, you'll find it's very different. You have more questions because you have some more time.
Yeah.
What were the other questions you have?
Yeah, my question is, once I make the overnight bubbling thing, what's the best way to store it so it doesn't – will it go bad? Can I store it
outside?
Yeah,
you can't store it.
Okay,
it's living things, right? It's little living things in there. You're going to tell them, listen, guys, could you just hold off what you're doing until I use you? No, you leave it alone for a day. The next day you go, what died? The third day the cops are there going, somebody died here.
Yeah,
and then it becomes bad for you. Trust me, I've done it before. I've done 5 days. I said, okay, I'm going to let it sit and bubble it for 5 days and see what happens. Sure enough, people were coming around going, somebody died. Where's the animal that died over here, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to spray that because then you're getting into your system too. I've gotten sick many times from spraying things away way too strong. So it has to be used like instantly.
Okay.
See, when you make it, you go out and you use it. And if you don't use any, you know, you don't leave it in, definitely don't leave it in your sprayer because you open up, you go, phew, what is that? So you... if you have anything left, you open up and you pour that around the plants. You use it up because it's a living. See, my super seaweed, what I did is I learned how to put them to sleep in suspension. But as soon as you add water and oxygen to it, push it, they start growing, right? They start growing. And if you add water to it, bubble it through it, there'd be like millions of them. And yeah, they're going to be producing gases and doing all kinds of stuff, right?
So I can do super seaweed twice a day. I can do compost twice a day if I wanted to or not?
Well, the compost is really best to apply to the soil, right? To add to the soil, amend the soil.
Okay.
Like before you planted these things, you should have amended the soil. Right?
I did. I put black cow in there. I don't know if that is any good. Is that good?
Black cow.
That's all I have
okay.
around here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is black cow
cow manure.
Okay, so cow manure, right. Okay, cool. And what else did you do?
I used Dr. Earth's fertilizer.
Okay, cool.
I mixed that in there. And I had an organic potting soil.
Okay, cool.
You
don't want to do the potting soil in the soil. Reason for that is that the potting soil has vermiculite and perlite, which are basically things that are used because it's a potting soil, you know, in the container. So they want it to be light and fluffy. But you put that in the soil, it ends up in the ocean eventually.
So what should
right,
I
so
be buying from now on? Use
the
garden,
Dr.
Earth, soil?
Dr. Earth has a soil amendment. When you buy Dr. Earth, you tell them that this guy on the radio really likes Dr. Earth, because I want them to be my sponsor, right? I mean, I've been using Dr.
Facebook,
Earth for years, but only recently did they make a big deal, and they're now in regular stores, which before was really hard to find. Now you can go to, I go to Armstrong Nursery. Where did you get yours from?
Home Depot.
Right. See, so that's absolutely amazing that in Home Depot they have such a wonderful organic product, right?
It
Bingo.
Is wonderful, yeah.
So you go there, you say, okay, I want Dr. Soil Amendment. Now, soil amendment is exactly that. They're smart. They're not going to put perlite and vermiculite in the soil. So that's what you add to your soil. It's the perfect thing to add to the soil that you have, right? You can add it, blend it. I would blend it with the compost, blend it with a little bit of rock dust you have. A little bit of organic fruit. Now, here's the thing about that. When you is this like your first season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, the first year is really the hardest because the soil is not there. You have to go, wake up. Hello, wake up. Hello, anybody there? Just testing. Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
so much stuff to do to bring the soil back to life. And, the soil takes a long time. How long have you been living there? You just moved there or something?
No. Here's the thing. I've been living here. We had the house built almost 15 years ago, but always busy doing other stuff. I just never focused on, let me beautify the place. I've just been working.
Oh, wait a second. You've been there for 15 years and you haven't really done anything to your soil yet?
I know. It's terrible.
That's awful.
But better late.
I don't feel so good. I have to lie down.
But better late than never, right? So I'm going to the master, to the expert, to ask him what to do, how to do it. I have your book, so I have no
idea. So imagine if you were doing this for 15 years, you would have a beautiful place, fruit trees, everything, right? Because it all adds up. So you have to start working on the soil. I'm happy to help you work through it. This is what the show is all about. It's just you calling me and talking to me and me helping you. That's what it's all about.
Okay.
I have a hard time answering emails because I'm turning
too many,
my hand.
Too many.
Yeah, I can't type. After a while, I says, I have to reach the A. I can't reach the letter A. Then I get a cramp. I can't reach it.
Oh, no, I know. I have a
question about
tomatoes.
Go ahead.
I just bought one of those city picker raised, like a raised bed, and I put 3 tomatoes in it. And I want to know, do you have any tips for tomatoes?
Okay, so you got something, you put in some kind of raised bed?
Yeah, because we can't really have here.
Okay, so explain that to me. Explain the raised bed. What is it, a box? Is it a big bed?
It's a plastic box. It's called the city pickers or patio pickers or something like that. It's a box probably about 45 inches long and maybe 30 inches wide.
So it's a container. How big is it?
Yeah.
How big is it?
It's about 40 inches by 30 inches. And,
okay. So what did you put in it? What mixture did you put in it? The potting soil mix?
They told us, to put potting mix. And then also they add, I put in plant tone. It's like a fertilizer, organic fertilizer.
Oh, it's an organic fertilizer?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you didn't do any of the Dr. Earth, huh?
No, because I went exactly by what they told me to do. So that's why I figured I could maybe add it later if it was needed.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so, and then where did you get the plant? From them?
Nope, I got it from LOWES.
Is it an organic plant?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
Were they?
What type was it?
They're called... beefsteak tomatoes.
Beefsteak. Okay, they get to be really big, so you may not have any room in there for it. But if you want to grow it, make sure first of all they get plenty of light. It needs at least 8 hours of light.
This is getting 6 hours of light a day.
I knew that.
The way my house is situated, there's no other space in this place that gets 8 full hours of sun. crazy.
Okay, so I'll tell you what's going to happen to it, because it only gets 6 hours. It doesn't have enough time to get all the food that it needs. It's going to start getting attacked by bugs. So you have to help it make up for the food that it's not going to get, because it needs 8 hours of light. It uses the light to convert sugar into the energy it needs. You're right, photosynthesis, right? So you're a little bit ahead of most people in the sense that, okay, so you have super seaweed, you have some nice rock dust, you have some good organic fertilizer, so you have a lot of good nutrients. You just have to make sure the plant gets it, especially since it's brand new, the soil is brand new, the root system has to take a while to grow, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you immediately start doing the foliar spraying.
Okay, got it.
Right? And so when you water it, you immediately give this some super, and that tomato will lose a lot more super seaweed than a tablespoon, than a gallon, okay? So you have to, as a tomato grows, it's a small plant, it uses less, but as it gets bigger, you want to continue with the amount that it needs. So you can easily give it a tablespoon per quart of water. But you also want to make sure that you always include the Dr. Earth as a tea. You know, they have a lot of organic liquid fertilizers you can get, but this one's if you use the Dr. Earth, like I said, you put that in the ball, you can have plenty of tea to go around. You can pour it. So you want to pour it
in. Keep using it.
Instead of just water, when you're pouring it, have some of your tea and mixture of stuff, and then you pour that. That way you're also helping the soil get together. You spray it. Now, you know it's going to get attacked, so you have to be proactive. You have to say, okay, you like garlic?
Yeah, I love garlic.
So I bet you like tomato-tasting garlic.
Yeah. So I could
garlic-tasting tomatoes, right?
And tomatoes. Yeah.
So what you do is you buy some garlic clove and you plant it at the base of the tomato plant, like four of them.
Oh. Just stick it right in there. Just take the
stick four of them like around the base and let them grow. I like doing it's called elephant garlic, but you can plant any garlic. The garlic will get absorbed by the tomato plants, and any bug would come around and go, wait a minute, this is not a tomato plant, this is garlic.
I don't like this, right?
Right, and that would help it a lot. Plus, you could also learn how to spray, because remember we talked about you can spray a little bit of garlic, right?
So
you can spray it on the, and then the same thing with the coffee, you can spray it on there. So when you're spraying, what I do, after a while I get so smart, I say, well, if I'm going to be spraying to kill the bugs and stuff, I don't really want to kill the bug, I want to spray the plant. So I'm going to be constantly spraying the super seaweed and something good for the plant. And if it's like compost tea, for example, which would be very good, that'll control, because you're also going to get diseases and stuff, because these bugs will bring about the disease. That's what they do. They carry the disease and drop them off on your plant. And then the disease says, this is perfect. See, this is perfect for me to grow. See, it's a cooperation. The bugs attack sick plants, but it also works for the disease. The disease has evolved to go with the bug and say, hey, perfect, I get off here, right? So you have to do that. Go ahead.
Around each plant, put four separate cloves of garlic.
Yeah, each plant should get like two or three, four cloves. Not a clove. Each clove has about four or five little garlics in it.
Okay, the little bulbs. I meant bulbs. Yeah, the bulbs.
Right. So a clove has like four. A clove has about four or five bulbs in it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You know how they come together?
I've never seen organic elephant garlic around here. You know, because it's kind of the boonies. We're not like Malibu.
You don't have to worry about buying organic garlic. I think you know nobody does anything to garlic, right? Okay. So you can grow. Okay. You can go get some garlic, and it should be fine because they don't spray garlic. Nothing attacks garlic. Okay, right? See what I'm saying? So you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. I do buy organic garlic. And if you want to buy organic garlic, that's where the catalogs come in, because you're gonna find there's like 1,000 different varieties of garlic. So if you're really clever, you know what my favorite garlic to grow is? Black garlic. Black garlic.
Ooh, is that taste different than regular?
And so it'll look black. It'll be black and everything. It's delicious. So you can grow that at the base of your plant, and then when you have bulbs, put some back and fun for yourself. And they have a thousand varieties of garlic. There's 1,000 varieties of different types of garlic, from elephant garlic, which is a massive, giant garlic plant. It's about the size of a giant apple or a peach, you know, or a grapefruit.
So all I have to do is take the paper part off, and just stick it in there. I have nothing else to do around to the bulbs.
Now say that again, because you're not coming in really super clear.
Okay, I'm sorry. For the garlic, all I need to do is remove the papery part and then just stick the bulb in there. Okay.
No, not the whole thing. So when you move the papery part, break it up, you'll see it has about 4 little cloves that have to be torn apart because it makes like a ball, right? Don't you cook where you take the garlic apart and do one clove?
Yeah.
The
bulb.
Each little bulb, you don't want the whole thing. You want separate the little guys and plant those. There's usually about 4 or 5 in one clove. So that's what you need. Plant it in the plant. It'll grow. And if you do it at the same time with the tomato that you start the tomato with, they both will grow together. Right? And that'll protect your plant, believe it or not. It will. And even in the ground, you could do the same thing. If you have tomatoes in the plant or other plants in the ground that it's going to attack it, the garlic grown at the base of the plant. That's what I do with trees. But listen, it's 2:00, and I think we're going to have to go now. Feel free to call me at any time you want to. I love the idea. I love it. Talk to me, right?
Okay. I'm going to call again, for sure.
Yes,
okay,
please
thank you,
do
Andy.
It. Okay, okay, take care now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, so we have...
Attention gardeners, how would you like to learn how to get rid of unwanted pests like ants and mosquitoes without using harmful pesticides? With the growing concern about West Nile virus, killer bees, and the use of synthetic pesticides, there is a better way. Go to www.invisiblegardener.com. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, provides alternatives to chemical products using natural ingredients you may already have at home. Do you have gardening questions or problems? Get the help you need at www.invisiblegardener.com. Join the Invisible Gardeners of America and take their online gardening classes. The Invisible Gardener has helped gardeners since 1972, and he can help you too. Visit www.invisiblegardener.com. You can talk directly to him about your gardening questions right here on The Invisible Gardener every Saturday morning, and you can reach Andy Lopez, The Invisible Gardener, anytime at www.invisiblegardener.com. Check it out on the website. That's www.invisiblegardener.com. www.invisiblegardener.com.
Hi, this is Andy. Make sure you go to Invisible Gardener. That's GARDENER.com. Thank you. Bye.